Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. I have been asked to make two announcements today. On Monday, April the 6th at 7:30, the student seminar series will present Dr. Robert E. Smith, professor of psychiatry and pastoral care of Duke University. Dr. Smith will deliver a lecture entitled Conflicts in the Clergy, after which he will lead in a discussion period. The lecture will be held in the Bethay Room of Appleby Building at 7:30 on Monday, April 6. Students and faculty are invited and urged to attend. As many of you know, Shaw University is in the process of liquidating a rather sizable debt. Unless this debt is liquidated by the end of this academic year, the school will lose its accreditation. The students of Southeastern Seminary, indeed the members of the Southeastern Seminary family, are being asked to contribute to the liquidation of this debt. On Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning of next week, each one of us will have an opportunity to contribute to a fund that will be turned over to Shaw University. The main concern of the Social Action Committee of our student body is that each student contribute whatever the amount may be. If you are not contacted during this time, please take your gift by the business office by Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Our responsive reading this morning is selection number 93. May God bless to us this morning the reading of his holy word. And may the Holy Spirit who inspired the apostle to write these words inspire us as we seek to give an interpretation which is valid and which is relevant to life. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, upon thy holy name we call in confidence as we gather in this chapel. For we have experienced deliverance from self and death through faith in thy Son Jesus Christ. And we know the reality of the power of the presence of thy Holy Spirit in the fellowship of the faithful. As we gather in this place, O God, we do so with hope in our hearts that our lives may be more of a blessing to others, that we may interpret through word and deed the meaning of this existence and love which is ours in Christ Jesus. We ask thy blessings upon each person who worships here today. Thou knowest the needs of each individual and the need of us all as members of thy church and as members of this seminary family. Grant unto us our needs and give to us the openness to receive the good gifts from thy throne of grace. Enlighten us concerning the purpose of thy will for our lives, and give to us a new insight concerning the purpose of this institution as a part of thy plan of redemption for mankind. Strengthen those who are weak. Encourage those who are frustrated, and fellowship with those who are lonely. Through the power of thy Spirit, in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul has written many words, but the greatest words on the life and the spirit, in my opinion, are to be found in the 8th chapter of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Son, there is more than one way to skin a cat. Although I took my father's word for the truth of this statement, my imagination was insufficient to visualize any other way to skin a cat than by ripping off his hide. Soon I discovered that my father was not drawing from his experience as a cat skinner, but that he was teaching me that there is more than one way to do the same job. For some years, I took this idea as something of a universal truth, until the experiences of life call this truth into question. Each of us learns that the way one does something, the method one uses, may so influence the activity that the result is different. Once in a while, my wife mixes flour, shortening, and milk in certain proportions, and the result is delicious hot biscuits. I could take the same ingredients and mix them by my method, and the result would be a product which, if properly aimed, could wake up any deacon on the back pew. Your method frequently determines or alters the result of your activity. In the realm of the meaning of life, the area of ultimate concern. One's perspective determines the meaning of life for him, and in part, the meaning of life for others who are associated with him. The Apostle Paul is concerned about the right perspective for the Christian life when he says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Everyone has a mindset. And according to Paul, there are two possibilities. The things of the flesh, a this-worldly perspective, or the things of the Spirit, a new perspective in Christ Jesus. This morning, I challenge you to set your mind on the things of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. For as Paul said, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. All this seems very simple until one begins to examine his own mindset, his daily thoughts, and discovers his realm of thought to be about the same as that of the non-Christians. Frequently, we think his thoughts, adopt his practices, employ his methods, and seek his results. Perhaps there are several reasons why this is true, but a primary one is that for the contemporary Christian, the Holy Spirit is suspect. We first heard about him as the Holy Ghost and experienced him in a highly emotional situation about which many of us now have some doubts. We have observed the appeals made to him by the faith healers, the snake handlers, and the ecstatics who speak in tongues and shout the shibboleths of their own party. We have invited him in for our revivals and made him bear the responsibility for our human decisions, which we sanctify by calling them God's will. Yes, for many of us, consciously or unconsciously, the Holy Spirit is the long suit for all the cranks, misfits, unlearned, and sentimentalists who call themselves Christians. Because others have perverted the reality of the Holy Spirit, we have quenched the Spirit. In so doing, we have squeezed out the power which can set our minds on the realities of the Spirit. According to the New Testament, the incarnation, the resurrection, the creation of the Christian church at Pentecost, the dynamic of the koinonia, the Christian life, and the redemption of all creation depend upon the reality of the Holy Spirit and his effectual work. If there had been no Holy Spirit, there would have been no Christian faith. And if there is no reality to the Holy Spirit today, then there is no hope for Christianity. The primary need today is not for a more sophisticated doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but rather for the rich and abiding experience of the Holy Spirit, an experience which sets our minds on spiritual realities and issues in life and peace. And who is this Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus lived out his life in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enables us to live out the life of Jesus here on earth and to accomplish his ministry of reconciliation. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no power to carry out the ministry committed to us. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is an offense to the spiritual fanatic who rejects the biblical criteria for the Holy Spirit. Paul sets forth these criteria. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Do you and I exhibit the fruit of the Spirit? We do when we set our minds on the Spirit. As we set our minds on the Spirit, the problems which pertain to the mindset of the flesh are transcended as we are being transformed. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. What is your mindset? Now may the grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father abide in our hearts through His Holy Spirit at this moment and throughout the age to come.